Amen. Heavenly Father, we honor you, Lord Jesus, today. You are the King above all nations. We thank you, Lord, for your reign in our lives, and we thank you for the joy of knowing Jesus. We celebrate, we praise you, we honor you. So, Lord, we pray that today, now as we come, we've sought to sing praise to your name and honor you with our lips. We pray now that you might give us ears to hear the word of God and that we might truly understand how to overcome the battle with indwelling sin. It is this body of death we have. I pray this for all of us who are believers today. Lord, we are wretched without your help. We cannot overcome on our own. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, make your presence known to us. Remove the distractions for the next little while, that we might hear your word and that we might truly understand what it is you have to say to us so that we might gain victory over sin and live for Jesus and honor your name and fulfill the mission you've given us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8 is where we'll be turning today. Romans chapter 8, one of those great chapters in the Bible. In fact, Romans 6, 7, and 8 are so practical for us and help us as we live our lives. If you're a guest with us today, we're in the middle of talking about as a church from Romans 6, 7, and 8, this dealing with this issue called the battle. Paul describes this battle in Romans chapter 7, verse 23. So find your place in Romans chapter 8. I want to make just a couple of comments before we get into this section of God's Word. So all of our thoughts and all of our ideas are coming to us around the idea found in Paul's personal testimony. And this is the testimony of every one of us who are followers of Jesus. Without exception, no matter how much you know about the Bible, how little, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, this is true for you as it is for me. Romans chapter 7, verse 23, Paul says, I see a different law or power in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. See it there? So we have this battle between our mind, seeking to do the will of God as Christians. Our minds are alive, they're renewed, we know the Lord and we want to do what's right, but we have this battle with the impulses and desires of our flesh continue to drive us back into sin. So we have this common problem of the remainder of sin in us. In fact, in verse 24, Paul says of himself, as all of us say, as we discover this to be true, wretched man, wretched woman am I. You see, the longer you walk with God, the more powerful your own sin and the sinfulness of indwelling sin will be to you, friend. This is very important. The longer you walk with God, the more you say what he says in chapter 7, verse 24. Who will set me free from the body of this death? That's the challenge we're all facing today. So we find Paul's first solution in chapter 8, and we'll be reading here in just a moment. So before I do that, let's go back and review the verses and the themes we've looked at so far. If you have your copy of God's Word, follow along. If not, you can just listen. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 is where we started. Here's the first gospel truth for us all. If you're saved and you've been born again and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved, the Bible tells us, Paul writes to us, sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law but under grace. That's a gospel principle. That's good news for all of us. Sin shall not be your master. No, that's not your, he's not your, sin's not your master. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now our master. We're under the grace of God. The second thing we looked at was in chapter 6, 22. But now, as believers, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. So as I am now freed from sin in Jesus Christ, I'm connected to Jesus Christ. So the whole issue of the penalty of sin is dealt with. I'm no longer, as we're going to see in a moment, under condemnation because of my sin. I'm free from that penalty because of the cross of Jesus, but now I submit myself to God and I become a servant of God, and because of that, I grow in holiness. I've separated my body. This is very important now. Hear what I'm saying. I separate my body from sinful things, and I do not do things with my hands that are sinful. I do not do things with my feet. I do not use my body for sinful things. I do not look at things that cause me to sin. I do not listen, and I do not say those things. I control my mind by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now I've given my body is now set apart for holy things. As a Christian, I don't use my body for unholy things. This is what Paul's saying to us in Romans 6. 22. But as much as I do that, we go to Romans 7, 23. As much as I seek to follow God, I can't seem to get there because there is this battle raging inside of me between my urges and my desires of the flesh and the new person that I am in Jesus. So what do we do? Well, then that leads us to chapter 8. And the promise today is Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is a matter of life and death to us today, ladies and gentlemen. What we're talking about today is vitally more important than anything you might hear from any medical professional telling you about some sickness in your body. This is life and death for you. This is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. Oh, the difference that it makes. Oh, the importance of hearing God's word while we still have time. I've been preaching most of my life. It's such a shocking thing when you'll be preaching and you see the people that you see. I've seen them all across the country, where all the places I've been. And you'll be preaching and there's someone young or someone middle-aged, someone in older age. They're there in church. You're all there together. You're celebrating. You're praising God. And that week, that day, they're gone. They die. It's over. That's it. No more time together. No more fellowship in the Word. No more to hear God. It's every one of us has a number of days, and what you do with your days, either to glorify God or to satisfy your old flesh, becomes very important. I'm speaking to you as best I can from all of my heart because these are life and death words that we're hearing. This is not we're not conducting ourselves through some religious bit of ceremony to get through the day and check it off. This is life and death. The way you respond to the truth of God's word is life or death. Paul says it here, Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then we'll see next week, beginning next week, how the Holy Spirit helps us to kill sin. The Holy Spirit helps us to kill indwelling sin when the urges start to come. Romans 8, 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. It's life or death. It's life or death. But if you are living by the Spirit, you are putting to death, you are killing the deeds of the body, and you will live. It's life or death for us all here today. So today we learn these words, and may the Lord give us the understanding we need to help us as we overcome sin. Now I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 8, we'll read the first 8 verses together. Therefore, Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but who walk according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then I'll just read verse 9 as we'll pick this up next week. However, you who are Christians, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, honor the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So our focus today, the focal truth around which I'll build my comments, comes from verse number 2 of chapter 8. Again, God's people live in freedom from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. It becomes very important for all of us who know Jesus Christ to understand now that you are possessed by God. I said it is important for you to know that as a follower of Jesus, if you're born again, you are now possessed by God. Oh, there is this problem of lingering, this same common problem all of us in this room who are believers have with indwelling sin. Oh, it's in us. As Paul said earlier, we read it last week. He said, I'm doing the very evil that I do not want to do. But it's sin that's present in me, evil in me. But now the Holy Spirit, Christ is in me. God is in me. I am possessed by God. You now are a spiritual, supernatural person in Jesus Christ. You see, Christians don't think like this very often. This is a contrast that Paul's making between the natural you before you were saved and the supernatural you in Jesus. You are supernatural in the sense that God now dwells in you. Christ dwells in you. This is Paul's words in Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So now we have a remedy for this body of death. It happens to us all the time. Our anguish and our frustration about indwelling sin. We come and we're with friends and we have great fellowship in the Lord and we're celebrating and we have a good time and we're studying the Bible, and then all of a sudden those impulses and those bodily, that force of nature starts to take over. It may be in our tongue. Somebody says something about somebody and we're tempted. The impulse is to say our thoughts about that person rather than just remain silent. And the longer we live for the Lord, we recognize the wretchedness of our condition. How do we get over this? Who will free us from it? Here's the answer. 8:2, the law of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of the Christian frees us from the law, the power of sin and death. So we've got several observations Paul gives us here. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, we see here in the first four verses the provisions for freedom from power over indwelling sin. So what does God provide for us? Look, I learned a long time ago, I can't do it on my own. I say to myself, well, the Bible says I'm not supposed to, the Lord says don't judge. Judge not lest you be judged. And then I turn around and I judge somebody. Well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to carry my Bible all the time and I'm never going to judge anybody. Well, and then I judge them carrying my Bible. I'm not going to judge that person. I'm going to go to church. And if I go to church, I won't judge them. And lo and behold, I get out of church and then I judge them again. Can't do it on my own. How am I going to do this? What's going to free me from this bondage? How do I deal with this? This is true for every single Christian in this room today. Doesn't matter how much you know about the Lord. Doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. This is our dilemma. Well, the provisions are clear. You see them here. First of all, no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. The word condemnation only means something to people who know that they've been condemned. Did you know that? You see, this is the problem with our world. Nobody believes they're a sinner. Did you know that? They just make mistakes. Nobody is a sinner. Nobody is accountable to God. This is the problem of the old way of thinking. I've not done anything wrong. You see, the longer you walk with God, the more powerful conviction of sin becomes, because your conscience is clear and good, and you feed it with the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit in your conscience will say to you, Mike, you shouldn't have said those things. And I am deeply stirred and I'm broken over it, and I confess my sin. But you see, this condemnation is even previous to that. Because I am a sinner and I have broken the law of God, I am under condemnation. I am under judgment. And the only way that I am delivered from condemnation and an eternal death sentence and hell is through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. That's wonderful provision through the cross of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 3, "For what the law could not do, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin." Guess what he did? Through the cross of Jesus Christ and his righteous life, he condemned sin. So no longer is the believing sinner condemned, but sin is condemned. That's the wonderful work of the gospel of the cross, because Jesus died for us. And then the provision in verse 2 is the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit of life, giving to us life instead of death. You see, the whole world is trapped in spiritual deadness. The world is in deadness to things that are spiritual. This is what Paul continues to hammer at and drive at throughout all of these words, that sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's life and death. It comes only in our relationship with Jesus. So the provisions are very real. And then, as I've already mentioned to you, the power of the Holy Spirit in verse 2, number 2, the power for freedom from indwelling sin is for those who live in the Spirit. This is important for us to see. So first, the provision for the freedom from the power of indwelling sin. Second, the power for freedom from indwelling sin is for those who live in the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5:16 to the churches at Galatia, it's the same for all of us who are Christians here today, walk by the Spirit. Most of you here today know this. Walking is Paul's way of describing your lifestyle. So as a believer, Paul says here in Romans 8:4, the requirement of the law has been fulfilled. Now, we walk according to not the flesh, but the Spirit. That's what's happened to you if you're a Christian. You walk, you're a spiritual person now. You're not a fleshly person. Folks, this is a total reorientation from the way you were born into the world. You were born into this world, and here's what flesh and sin does. Satisfy me. I'm the center of the world. Everything revolves around me. Mine, mine, mine. Me, me, me. I. I have to pamper myself. I have to satisfy my desires. There's nothing wrong with this. This is the justification of the lost world. I can do whatever I want. I can act the way I want. I can have all these sexual orientations I want. I can do whatever I want because I am the center of the world and I am here to satisfy myself. No, that's not what we do as followers of Jesus. Now we walk, as Paul says in verse 4, we walk according to the Spirit. Natural or spiritual? Natural or spiritual? This is the challenge for us all today. So what Paul does is he divides and shows us the difference between those who are natural, who are still in their sin, and those who are spiritual. So I want you to follow with me today. Today is a very hard day for us. Today is a very dark day for us from Scripture, because we must look at the darkness, the danger, the destructiveness, the death, of sin. So Paul says it for us here. This leads me to the third thing I want you to see. And I'm going to linger now from verse number 5 through verse number 8 for just a while with you. We've seen the promises, the provisions of freedom from the power of indwelling sin in the first four verses, the Holy Spirit and the life and death of Christ. We've seen that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome sin, verse number 4, as we live now as spiritual people who are born again. But now let me talk about the deadly practice of living in the flesh. And we read again in verse number 5, for those who are according to the flesh. That's the description Paul uses of people who do not know Jesus. They are according to the flesh. They are fleshly. They are according to the flesh. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh have a certain mindset. Please notice this. Now Paul begins to talk about the relationship of the fleshly body with our mind. Oh, what a powerful thing. This is the challenge for us physically. This is the challenge for us mentally. This is our challenge. How do we understand the power of the mind and its effect on the body and what we do? They go together. You see, if you think yourself one thing and want to be something else, it never happens the way you think. As a man thinks in his heart, the book of Proverbs says, so is he. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's talking about the inner person, the mind, the will, the emotions. Out of the abundance, you see, it starts on the inside. And now we read, what's the condition? What's the deadly condition? What's this living that he's talking about according to the flesh? We must see this. Look, the only way I'll do evangelism is to understand the true lostness of my friends and neighbors who do not know Jesus. If I just somehow think that they're just a little confused and they just need a little reading in the Bible, I'm not going to do much. But if I truly understand the lostness of all the people who live on this planet who do not know Jesus, it will burden me. It will push me. It will cause me to tell my friends about Jesus. So we see here this deadly practice of living in this condition. Notice, for those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. So when we think about those things of the flesh, the best listing we have, as we've seen before, is in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul describes the deeds of the flesh. He reminds us here of what it is to set your mind on the flesh. So what do people without Jesus think about? Well, it's the same things you used to think about before you were saved. I'll just take you back and read you some of them. Here's what people think about. Here's the mind set on the flesh. Here's the way a person lives according to the flesh in lostness. Galatians 5:19, the deeds of the flesh are evident. The first three, as I've said before, are all sexual in nature. That's what people without Jesus, that's what the lost man or woman thinks about, sexual things. Sexual satisfaction. Sexual perversion. Sexual things preoccupy their mind, and this has been true from the beginning of the Word of God. Sexual immorality, sexual perversion, because you see, it is a natural thing. I'm born this way. This is what I want to do. It doesn't matter if God's Word says I shouldn't commit adultery. I love that woman or that man, and I don't care if they're married. I'm going to have sex with them. Yes, to satisfy your sexual urges, because your flesh is driving you. You're driven by flesh, driven by sexual impulses, not much different than animals. Sexual impulse. And the church rages against this. Why do we rage, my dear friends? Because this is the lost person's condition. Why are we surprised? Why are we expecting people who are lost and in the flesh to act like people in the spirit? They're not going to do it until they're born again. till they come to their senses and wake up. So all they do day and night, they wake up in the morning, they spend their day feeding it. Now we feed it with all of these technical ways we can do it with technology. We feed this. We find ourselves entrapped in relationships with men and women we ought not to be in at business and other places, and it just feeds this whole thing. What do lost people think about? They think about it day and night. It's fed by the media, all the other things that are part of the world system. It's all about sexual satisfaction. What do lost people think about? He goes on to say, the deeds of the flesh are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. So today, people, you know what idolatry is? It's a person or a thing that you trust instead of God. This is going to give you satisfaction, or this person. It's idolatry. It's putting anything before God. It's worshiping it. It's focusing your mind, your attention, your time, your money, your values. Oh, idolatry, it's all around us. We'll talk one day about this in detail, idolatry. Even our beloved John, the apostle, said to us at the end of 1 John, my little children, he's writing to his Christian brothers and sisters, us, keep yourself from idols. Sexual immorality, idolatry. This is what they think about. Idolatry. And sorcery. Well, I've got to find out something about what's going to happen. And so they involve demon spirits and all kinds of ways of witchcraft and sorcery, trying to find out things, not from God, but from the evil one. And then all of these words that Paul uses in Galatians 5, talking about fighting. You know, nobody goes and enjoys, nobody wakes up and says, man, I'm so excited to see that peace talk going on. They love a fight. The media captures it on video, everyone. The flesh is drawn to fights. Fighting. That's what the world does. The world fights. If you don't like him, punch him in the nose. Idolatry. This is what they think about. A good fight. Disputes, anger, dissension, outbursts of anger, factions. Surely that not to happen in the church. But I've heard people say, well, you know, it's kind of entertaining to have a good fight at church. Is that true, my friend? How sad to hear. What does the lost man think about? Sex and idolatry and, man, let's see a good fight. Yeah, punch him in the nose. Yeah, kick him when he's down. You know, fighting is not just with your fists, it's with your mouth. That's the danger of fighting. What does the lost man think about? Sex and idolatry and fighting and sorcery and envy, covetousness, the plague of unsatisfaction. Sometimes you listen to people talk and they're never satisfied. How much is enough, my friend? The rare jewel of Christian contentment. I've learned to be, Paul said, I have a lot. I've learned to have nothing. But in whatever condition I am in, I'm content because that's what the Lord has for me. You see, this is it. This drivenness for unsatisfied. They're never satisfied. We use the word dissatisfaction, but the other English word is unsatisfaction. That's envy. The Bible says in the law of God, you don't covet your neighbor's wife. We would say covet your neighbor's husband. You don't covet your neighbor's land, possessions, is covetousness, it's envy. Desiring what someone else has rather than what you have. This is what the world does. They wake up doing this. They go to bed doing this. They envy. Envy and drunkenness and carousing and carrying on in such ways that dishonor God. This is the lifestyle of those who are without God. And so Paul tells us here, for those who are according to the flesh, Romans 8:5, those who are according to the flesh set their mind on these kinds of things. Paul's making the contrast here between the natural lost person and the saved supernatural spirit-led person, spirit-possessed person. He goes on to say, but those who are according to the Spirit set their mind, verse 5, on the spiritual. Yes. And next week we'll talk about that in detail. I want you to linger today on the deadly practice of living in the flesh and what it gets you. And this leads me to the last thing I want you to see. The destructiveness of fleshly mindedness. You see, my friend, this morning your mind is in one of two places. See, this is where Christians try to split this. Well, I'm going to be a little bit in the world and flesh, and I'm going to be a little bit in the spirit. It didn't work that way. Your mind isn't designed by God to have a split on it. No, you're going to be spiritually minded or fleshly minded. This becomes a challenge for the believers who follow Jesus. This is the plague we have of indwelling sin. But today I pause to only simply remind you of what you used to be like, and I used to be like, when I was not born again and the way my mind focused before I knew God. This is what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about those who are according to flesh. I've given you the five characteristics of fleshly mindedness that describe a lost person who does not know Jesus. Fleshly mindedness leads to death. That's in verse number 6. For the mind set on the flesh, when you focus your mind on this list of things I've been talking about, no wonder, people will live to gratify themselves sexually, and guess what? There's nothing from it. They're just as dead as they were. They're excited for a while, and then there's deadness. Why? Because sin leads to death. When a follower of Jesus goes back in, yields to temptation, and leaves the spiritual life that they have in Christ, and they yield and go back into flesh, deadness spiritually, deadness. No interest in the things of God. The Holy Spirit is grieved. No interest in prayer. Sometimes living as bad as those who do not know Christ, walking away from God. This is a dangerous thing. It's life or death, my friends. This is life or death. The basis of what we're talking about is the difference between you living in the promise Jesus made of abundant life and the promise of future eternal life and living in deadness of sin. Jesus had to say to the church at Sardis, strengthen the things that are, repent and strengthen what's left alive. Deadness in the church is deadness among God's people because they go back to sin. Fleshly mindedness is death. And don't think it's not possible for you. You know, the self-righteous say, well, I'm not spiritually dead. No, you're just a hypocrite. That's what you are. Oh, the danger of self-righteousness, it's sin. It's the height of sin. To think that we cannot yield to the sinfulness of our flesh. You see, we need the power of God. For the mind set on the flesh is death, verse 6, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Paul goes on to talk about this fleshly mindedness. The fleshly mind resists God. I'm going to give you, in the few minutes I have remaining, a verse for you to look at, and you can turn with me or you can just listen. You need to pay attention to Psalm 10. Psalm 10 is a great, great psalm to help us understand exactly the thinking that goes through those who are lost and without God. I may be talking about someone, your family right now. I may be talking about your friends. I may be talking about your co-workers, but this is the way they think and this is the way they live according to the flesh, without God, when they're in their natural state without Christ. Psalm 10 says in verse 4, the wicked in the haughtiness of his face, his countenance, does not seek God. All his thoughts are, this is Psalm 10:4, all of his thoughts, there is no God. It doesn't matter what I do because there's not a God. That's what the lost person says. whose mind is corrupted by sin, who lives in depravity and in insensitivity to the truth about God, the first thing in their mind is there's no God. The point is, doesn't matter what I do. I'm my own God. I'm in charge of my life. I can set my own rules. I set the standards. There is no God. Verse 6, he says to himself, I will not be moved. There's a second lie. This is the second lie the lost man says to himself. I don't need to be changed. I don't need to make any differences in my life. I can be whatever I want to be. I will not be moved through all the generations. I will not see adversity. Everything's going to be fine in my life. I don't need all of that talk about Jesus and God and death. I'll not be moved, says the lost man. There is no God, says the lost man, in his mind. You see, these are things that he is saying to himself. I hope you notice this if you're looking at Psalm 10. These are his thoughts. There's no God. Then he says to himself, I will not be moved. I will not be in adversity. And number 11, verse 11, he says to himself, God has forgotten. God has a short memory. Well, you know, Pastor, everybody makes mistakes. But God forgives us all. Oh, he forgives us in the Lord Jesus Christ when you come to him and confess your sin. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you're still in your sins. This is the problem we have in American Christianity and the plague of people who hear half-truths about the gospel. You're not just forgiven because you thought about it. You're not just forgiven because you got caught in it. You're forgiven when you repent of your sin and confess the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. This is the deadness. This is the mentality of the lost. They're dead. They resist God. They reject God's law. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, does not subject itself to the law of God. You think a man hears, you shall not commit adultery. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. I like that. I'm going to do that. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, they deserve it. I don't like them. They're a threat to me. And then there goes the attack. You see, they're not subject to the law of God, and they're not able to do so. They can't even if they want to obey the law of God because they are still in their sins and helpless. So they reject the law of God, and they are powerless to change it. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. Many of you know these verses. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he was describing those that are natural and those who are spiritual, he describes it in this way. He says in verse 14, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. I can stand up here till I'm blue in my face trying to convince somebody of how they ought to walk with God, but until the Holy Spirit changes their mind, they don't care. These things we're talking about this morning are foolish. You're wasting your time. Why don't you just go be yourself and indulge and do whatever you want to do? The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritual. Because they are spiritual. There's been so much misunderstanding about the work of the Holy Spirit. So many times, you see, the fleshly mind is powerless to obey God. And in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we must learn then, church, how it looks to walk in the Spirit. You see, walking in the Spirit, we often think about the Holy Spirit's power as it came at Pentecost and the power of it and the visibility of it. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is being exhibited in God's people, but it's in a more day-to-day way. We're looking for the supernatural. The supernatural is this. Now here's an example of being a supernatural Christian. When you're about to gossip, the Holy Spirit helps you not to gossip. That's supernatural. When you're about to lust, the Holy Spirit helps you not to lust. That's supernatural. See, it's not natural. It's beyond nature. So you must recognize that within you, Paul's promise is true. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life, This is what life is. It's overcoming the power of indwelling sin. It is living in victory in Jesus. It is that supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit who now possesses us to help and lead us where we ought to go. Where the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you and say, don't look at that. Don't listen to that. Don't say that. You know what's great about the book of Acts? Over and over the book of Acts says, and the Holy Spirit said, yes. The Holy Spirit said, listen to me, and the Holy Spirit is saying something to all of us who are followers of Jesus. So as we conclude today, this is enough for today. We'll come back next week, Lord willing, and we'll talk about killing sin. But first we needed to see the deadly destructiveness of those who live far away from God. What do I have for you today to think about this week? I hope you just consider this one. I've been pounding on this nail since I started. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit for freedom over sin. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. And renew your mind. Yield yourself to God. Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do it, friend? You pray. You read God's word. You separate yourself from the things that keep drawing you back into sin. That may mean you need to break some relationships. That means you may need to quit watching some things on television or reading some things on your electronic device because they keep pulling you back. They keep pulling you back. And you find yourself in the same dilemma. Away from God, not able to worship, not able to glorify God, not able to praise Him in your spirit because you have grieved the Holy Spirit. And your life has gone backwards instead of forward with God. I wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. We sang it a few weeks ago. This is where we find ourselves today. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us who are saved now to be free from indwelling sin.